First, I want to thank, of course, my good friends, Hani and Shimi Klein, for opening up the home for us. And just, Bechlal, I always say this, that we could just as easily now, thank God, we have a shul. It was always, we were in Golis during the week, but now we have a place to have a class. But I think it's a wonderful thing that we get. I mean, I know it's an inconvenience for people, but to come together in a house and the schus of the Balabatim opening up their home for Limud HaTorah, it's good for the children, it's good for the parents, it's good for every inch of the home that there should be Torah. And I hope that Bez Hashem that Shemi and Chani should have only Simcha, Nachas and Bracha in each and every room, and she was able to have that together in Eretz Yisrael. We're continuing, but if you weren't here before, it's okay. We're continuing our limud, learning to adapt to a certain frame of mind, a certain way of thinking, so we should be able to be dan lekav zchus, to judge Jews in a favorable way. And I've chosen to spend a great deal of time on this. More than I really planned on doing. I thought I would spend maybe 3 or 4 shiurim. But after we finished the halacha, and I spoke to a number of the chevra, that we really need his chaskis lemaisa. It's easy to say that the halacha is to be like this and to be like that. But practically speaking, how do we change and what can we do and what can we think of? And it's really so important to review if possible and to think about it, to try to put into practice. Before we start, or before we continue, let me just begin with a Torah. Almost 5 minutes before I left, I was learning a certain Torah from one of the tzaddikim. Not by way of preparing. You shouldn't be chashed that I prepare anything. But I was learning something in one of the Svarma Kedoshim, and I came across a maimer from the Holy Tzaddik, the Rebbe Shmelke from Nicholsburg, and nothing's a coincidence. And then I understood that Hashem was preparing me for this, and to come and to share this vart with you, and then to continue in the Sichas Eschaskus from the Tzaddik of Tzimei. So you don't have this in front of you. Let me just share with you. It's a sentence from the Rebbe of Shmelke. It says in the Pasuk in Dvarim, Ki Polim Imcha Dover LeMishpat. You know that there are certain questions in Halacha, that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, at the time that we had the Sanhedrin, the great court in Yerushalayim, that there were certain issues that were impossible to resolve anywhere else. And the Torah therefore says, Ki polim imcha dover lemishpat, if there's something that's wondrous. A pella means it's beyond your understanding, right? Something that you can't get. Ben dam ladam, that means that you can't distinguish between a certain type of blood that would be permissible and another type of blood that might be according to halacha forbidden, and so would cause an iser. And then it says benega lenega, of course. So that's in the laws of purification, benam ladam, with blood. And benega lenega, you also know, has to do with leprosy, different types of disease. And it's a pella, you don't know. It's too mysterious. You can't figure out the halacha. So the Torah says, divrei riros b'sha'aracha, or if there are disputes. If there are disputes in your gates, in your cities, so then the Torah tells us that we have to go up to the great court in Yerushalayim. So listen to what the Tzaddik of Shmelke said. In Yelucha Pella, that if you're astounded, if you're astonished and shocked, Madua Choluk Dam Yehudi Midam Macherim, why is it that there's a difference between Jewish blood and non-Jewish blood? That it seems that Jewish blood, the Tzaddik says, always Jewish blood is always flowing. It seems that Jewish blood is not worth anything, God forbid, and Jewish blood is chas v'sholom cheap. And this is a wonder. We're astonished. The events of this past Shabbos, and like it says in the Pasuk, that Kinisasani that Hashem, you lifted me up and then you threw me down. So why is it? So the Tzaddik says, in Yelucha Pella, Madua Cholok Dam Yehudi Midam Machem, why is there this difference between Jewish blood and non-Jewish blood? Afilu Shalom Shalom Ha'ilam V'hu Hefke, excuse me, it seems that the blood of Jews is, God forbid, hefker. Hateresu, listen, the Rebbe of Shmalki says, this is what it means in the pasuk, ki yipolu mimcha, if you're shocked, ben dam ladam, right? That our blood seems to be so much cheaper than, God forbid, than their blood. How could that be? So he says, k'may shamam shich b'pasuk, that's how the pasuk continues. Divrei rivos b'sha'arecha. Divrei rivos b'sha'arecha means there are disputes that are constantly taking place in our gates because of the hatred and the fighting that goes on between Jews. V'hayno machloikis v'asinu sh'mneihem z'germ l'shvichas dam. The cause of shvichas dam, the cause of, God forbid, blood to be spilled. Hashem yirachem. So we don't know anything on our own, but we know that tzaddikim have taught us. And these are not things that that these are not theories. These are things that were revealed to the tzaddikim that they received. But we saw. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and I don't want to, veer away from what we need to focus on. Maybe I'll talk about this more in shul some other time. But the pain is very strong. But you see that in America, when the Maisa happened in September 2 years ago, that even the simplest, most uneducated people were brought together in such unity. It was a pell. It was really a very holy time in America. It was a terrible time, and it was a holy time. And I keep on thinking about how what's taking place, especially in Eretz Yisrael, the division between the religious and the non-religious, and now with this election that took place, and that there's a whole party whose existence is only a sinner, a hatred for religious Jews. And that there are religious Jews who are filled with hatred, God forbid, for non-religious Jews. Divrei rivos b'sha'arecha. We don't understand anything, but there's so much machloikis, there's so much sin, there's so much hatred. And you would think that sof kol sof, it's already been so long, these past few years, that we are all facing a common enemy. And that the yeshuv, the communities of Eretz Yisrael, are under attack. And you would think that all of this would have removed the walls, would have removed the barriers, would have brought us closer to each other. And that we see that there's so many rivas, divrei rivas b'sha'arecha, so much fighting and infighting. And then it's not just in Eretz Yisrael. It's in chutz la'aretz, in the communities, politics and shuls and yeshivas and machloikis and sinas chinim and looking at people in the wrong way and seeing faults and finding faults and tainis and tviyas and all of this divres rivas b'sha'arecha. So the tzaddik says, ki polim imcha, if you want to understand, it's a shakti, you can't figure out, ben dam l'dam, why is it that Jewish blood seems to be flowing, God forbid, Hashem yirachem? The Torah says, divrei rivos b'sha'arecha, because there are no people in the world, the tzaddikim say, that argue and fight and have a tendency to see negative things in each other like Jews. And which is a pella, because every Jew is so holy and so pure and so special. And afal pichem, we see these things. and when Nebuch this Yid that died this past week, when he was reflecting upon the earth, he was there, and I was reading all of this. The guys in shul gave me different things that were sent out from different letters that were, I guess, on the internet, different things that came. So one of the things was said how, when he was from that perspective where he was so high up, so Yerushalayim was so quiet, right? It was so quiet, and the world was like one big place, and he wanted to bring unity between the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and with the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and all the Jews of Galus. I mean, these hasagas, the ideas that he had, were ideas that, like, you know, were ideas that come from a deep place of Torah, and he didn't learn Torah. It wasn't like he was a ben Torah at all. So, as we're continuing to learn these inyanim, the inyan of being down the kafskos, so obviously we understand that in order to see good in people, you have to lift yourself up to a high place to be able to see how be'emes, in truth, when you look at things from an exalted place, So you don't see all these differences. You don't see all the protein that separate between one person and another, between one Jew and another. It's only when you're in a small place and you're stuck in a very little life that you have, that every second you spend thinking about what this person says and what that person does, and with tightness about how come I was invited or how come she wasn't invited, and how come my mother-in-law said this and my sister-in-law said that and my brothers didn't say this and my friend should have said that, and so on and so forth, all of these tightness and tears that are the result of looking at things from such a silly small place instead of rising above. And the pain that we have that Hashem's Baruch took him away before he had a chance to, you know, I was so certain that once he would land, he would start keeping Shabbos and mitzvahs. It was such a shocking thing. I felt that it was just interrupted, and it's a painful thing. Ben dam l'dam, and our avoda, you know, so just to to let something pass by, something so painful to pass by, not to take to heart, and to work especially in Yonah ben Amla Chaveiro, Divrei Rivas B'Sharecha, since the Torah has revealed to us in the Tzaddikim that there's nothing that causes as much sorrow as Machloikis and Sinis Chinam and hatred. There's nothing that causes as much sorrow as Hashem Yerachem as having negative feelings about each other, about other Jews, between groups and between individuals. And that's why, even though there are so many other inyan to talk about, and I just feel that we need to be mechazik ourselves and to do whatever we can, that at least in our shar, in our gate, in our little community, in our little world, that we should try as much as possible to learn how to judge people in a different way, in a better way. So let's learn some more Deveis Chaskis. I gave these pages out, Leslie, we didn't get to them. Vahamis, you see it? It says Zayin Vahamis. That's a good word to start with. Vahamis who shalazalzal b'chaveiru machmas kol chiluk yadvaram ha'elu. He spoke about this a little bit last time, as we were ending, that the tzaddik says that the truth is that to look down upon and to mock or ridicule another person because of different customs that individual has, either religious or stam, things that have to do with how they run their households, how people live. Ain't shum seichel v'higoyin. There's no seichel to it. Besides that it's wrong. It's also silly. It's silly. Kerei kol echa batzum mischalef. And Reb Tzimei says the biggest simon that is so silly is, he says, look at yourself. Each one of us. Let's look at ourselves. And he says that the emes is, you know, we all have times about how come this person's like that, how come this person's like this, and this person's like that. But he said, but if you look at yourself, one day you yourself could be like this on Monday, and by Tuesday you yourself are like that. In other words, you yourself are inconsistent. You always have, everybody has a time, how come this person does it like this, how come this person does it like that. In your own life, if you'd be honest, or if you'd be introspective, if you'd be real, you would notice that you change all the time. You're constantly changing. That's what it means to carry kolach ba'atzim mischalif. Each person himself is mischalif. He's constantly changing. V'lo kol ha'yomim shavim etzlo. And the days are not the same. Not all the days are the same. But kolach yeshlo hayalush. It's a little bit hard to hayalush shemayim yedu sahem eshaloi. That means it says in the pasuk, David HaMelech said that the person sometimes rises up to the heavens and sometimes sinks to the lowest depths. That's how life is. So sometimes you're on top and sometimes you're on the bottom. Sometimes Yalu Shamayim is a gewaldige day and you're able to conduct yourself a certain way and live a certain way. And sometimes it's Yedu Sahim, sometimes it's Mamish, you sink all the way to the lowest place. Now he's, remember that he was speaking to men Shalashu this time, right? So it wasn't written as a sefer for everybody. This is just transcribing something that was said to the men Shalashu this. That's why he often, in other Torah series, he's screaming and yelling at the men. He does a little bit here at the end also to be more helpful at home. He's talking to men in the Shmuzin. So here he talks a little bit about the Bes Medrash, but you'll see it applies in all of our lives. He says, he gives an example. One day the guy walks in the, he says, you walk into the Bes Medrash with a fire. a bren, right? V'chayshev toira da'aflek, and he says, when Brennan says, epis sushtulhaim, in Bes Medrash, he says, and he walks into the Bes Medrash, and he said, well, in Hebrew it says over there, Teret Tzarech Livra Lahalif. He's upset. He's on fire. He's Yalu Shemayim. He's holding the good place that day. So he walks in the Bes Medrash and he's on fire, mamish, to learn. He's all excited about learning. And he says, Hayyim Bes Medrash Midai Sheket. You see, in Hebrew it says, no, nobody seems to be too into it. What kind of yeshiva am I in? He came not there like he had, you know, he's like in a good mood. He feels like learning. And he's with it, and he has a bren, he has a fire. He walks into this medrash, and he sees like it's still people. I mean, they're learning, but they're not into it. It's quiet. And yitzarach lachapis mokum teiracher. It's time for a new yeshiva. I have to go to look for a different yeshiva. Ubiyam acher al derech marshal who osik bebira is alocha chamura as chayshish beis medrash zelim dimidai bekol. Then on another day, he's trying to figure something out. And he has to concentrate on a certain point, and there's so much noise in the beis medrash that he can't concentrate. This is a thing that, you know, for guys that are singing Bes Medrash, sometimes the most wonderful thing is the noise, and sometimes you just need a little bit of quiet. So look at this. He says, on Monday he walks and he's upset that it's too quiet. On Tuesday he's working on something, he's upset that it's too noisy. I can't think, I can't learn. Who writes what would each person like? Everybody would like that when you're going through an aliyah, when you're going through a certain kind of a good time, that the whole world should adjust to your aliyah. And that when you're going through a difficult time, you would like that everybody should be with you in that place of your yerida. So very often this happens between friends, that you'll have a friend that's like, say, cracking a couple of jokes. And you're thinking, I can't believe it. Doesn't she know that I'm so tzibrochen? The Torah says she's not tzibrochen. She's happy about something. She's in a good mood. She's happy and she's telling a couple of jokes. She seems to be cheerful. And you're wondering, how come she doesn't see that I'm so tzibrochen? How come she's not empathizing? What kind of a person? If she would be sad, I certainly wouldn't tell any jokes. And so everybody's supposed to adjust. You figure that everybody automatically is going to adjust to where you're holding. So this fellow walks into this medrash, one day has to be like this, next day has to be like that. And what, the ilum is keeping up, everybody has their own little, everybody has their own pakalach and their own inyanam, where they have to adjust to your speed in life. This happens all the time. The tzaddik says, I really can't even go into length into this whole subject. Every day a person is a different person, mamish. Each one of us is a different person. Completely different. Miregularaga. Not only that, in one day, you could change from 1 minute to the next. Blishi of a size, there's no end. Pamachas, who writes, she's Pauli Yasamaya. Sometimes you're getting annoyed because they're davening too slow. And they should be moving. That in other words, that you're not into the davening so much. So you're annoyed. You're annoyed, you have other things to do, and you want them to finish up davening already. Upamacharis Yasalat. And then there's another time that you feel like davening and you're into it, and it's bothering you that they're moving too quickly. What kind of a thing is this? And if you look at the clock, it's the same time as Leah Shabbos. It's the same time during the week that the davening ends every day the same time. But that day, or that time of the day, you had a chayshik, either to daven, not to daven so much. Upam achas writes, shi'inagnu b'tfila. You have one. The same person is in the mood to hear a good niggun in davening. He wants to hear some singing. And he'll be annoyed, how come this guy doesn't sing at all? Upam acheres, lo. And then it could be the next day, or even later on the same day, if somebody gets up and he starts singing, he says, what's he hacking me with the singing? I can't, you always have to sing. And he gets crazy about the same thing that he wanted an hour before. Now he doesn't want. Now he's upset and he has tightness. He's giving examples, he's talking to the fellows in Bes Medrash. But we know this is true with everything in life. So what? So now he's looking at this person, let's say, this person, I know that this has happened often, that I'd sit in a Bes Medrash. This is a very, it's hard for women to understand this, you know, but this is like one of the things in the Bes Medrash that you're trying to concentrate on learning. If the Bes Medrash is full, then you don't really hear anybody. It's just a It's just a loud sound because everybody's learning Baruch Hashem. But sometimes when you come to Beis Medrash, it's only you and like one other guy. And there was this one other guy where when I was in Eretz Yisrael in Beis Medrash, I used to go there, and he was there also in Beis Medrash. And he would like sing like operas, you know, like chazanas. And I'm sitting there and I couldn't concentrate. And like, over time I started to hate this guy. He was such a passion. You know, every time I walked in, so you know, he was a masmid, he liked to learn. But he would like, you know, he'd make like a whole thing, like a whole, you know, Yesler Rosenblatt or something. And it's impossible to concentrate. And I'm thinking, don't you understand? How could you do such, what kind of an inconsiderate thing? Until I caught myself doing the same thing once when he was quiet. And it wasn't, I was not calm, I wasn't taking revenge. I was just, it was a nice thing that I liked. And my voice is certainly more, he knew how to sing a little bit. I can't sing at all. And I'm singing this niggun. And I didn't even think at all that I might be disturbing him. And look how a person will be so upset and look down on a person. What kind of an inconsiderate person are you? What kind of a bentur are you that you wouldn't even think that there's someone else that doesn't want to hear your, you know, your opera at this thing? But this is the way it is with everything in life. V'chein begashmius. Now it'll hit a little bit more home. Listen to this. V'chein begashmius. And it's so to it in physical things. Ech lefi tivo yosem mesuda. You have one person that by nature is more mesuda. More organized, more orderly. And you have another person who by nature or by upbringing is less masuda. You know, you'll have one, you'll go in one house, if there's something that falls, the wife, the mother will catch it before it lands. You have another house that as long as you can still see some floor, it's okay. Right? So this one's masuda, this one's not masuda. When it comes to this man, when it comes to being late with the serving a meal or having things ready or bechlal, how things look. Hu chayshiv sheyelet tzarech leches masuda. You have one parent who feels that the child should always be masuda. V'shekol begadiv yimsudar minikim out. And the clothing have to be perfectly neat and clean and tucked in and everything just right. V'ilu echad sover dein ladakta kol kach. Then the other people, they don't particularly care. It doesn't bother them. Shekol yelad yelovish masuda b'dikta gadol. It doesn't have to be that the kid be dressed perfectly and everything to match and everything has to be perfectly clean. It doesn't have to be 100%. Kids are kids and they fool around. They run around and you don't make a kid mishug. You can go to a certain house. You can go to a certain house and you see the way that the parents are with the children, and you feel like you want to grab the kids and help them escape. Mm-hmm. They're living under such tension and such pressure, and the parents, it's like being at boot camp. Mm-hmm. Line up, sit down, be quiet. You sit at a Shabbos table, kid can't open his mouth. If a kid says anything, if a kid calls out, he's already punished. Go to your room or something. And you'd be in another house where it's mamish the opposite way. It's lebedik. Everybody's jumping on the table and hanging by the chandelier, and you're waiting like, what are they going to say? Like, you know, are they going to say something? What are they going to, you know, say something, do something? Like this and like that. And when one person is in the other person, in the other type of a home, it's gefährlich, it could be mamish a sinner, that you look at that person as being almost uncivilized and unrefined. Or the other person, you'll say this person is so cruel to the children that the children have to always be tucked in and the children have to be like this and have to stand quietly online. And everybody has their own inyanim like this. So he says, and his way is, in this house, they're not so makpid that the kids have to go just like this. They're not so makpid. Aber leif in acher, shalas nagus, chayshish zek krayos amidai. So you begin to make judgments of those parents. This is not good for the child. You know it's better for that child. You begin to judge that parent and judge those parents for how they're raising the children. And you say, you say, this is not good for the child. So now if you're a very organized person, you think that this is horrible, the child must be suffering terribly by being so disheveled. That child must be very depressed that his shirt is out like that. He must be very depressed, or that the tzitzis are a little bit yellow instead of white. So that child must be suffering terribly. It's b'chol not true. Those kids are usually much more besimcha than the ones that are living with the, you know, in boot camp. So the bookkeepers, but there shouldn't be any seder, or there should be too much. I mean, there are extremes. But a person will look at this and think that the kid must be miserable. Because it's Sarah Chaytiv, Lachs of Lashani, therefore he explains that we have to constantly remember and review. Shavinu Shavashamayim Baro Sanokach, that the Baruch Shalom created us differently. Im Hativim Shalonu, and everybody has their own nature. And if you don't accept that, if you don't come to accept that, you're going to dislike and even hate other people. And that's Hashem's will, and that's Hashem's nachas. It's Hashem's baruch's pleasure. Dav kebayfin hazeh. Some have the shirts in, some have the shirts out. That's Hashem's pleasure. In some houses it's like this, in some houses like that. The Baruch Shalom has pleasure from that. That's his nachas ruach. That Hashem created a world that's very colorful, and there are all different paths and all different ways and mahalchim paths of what baruch nis v'hem begashmis, in spiritual things and in physical things, all different ways. Malchuscha malchus kol oylamim. That means that Hashem, your kingdom, we say this every day in Ashrei, Hashem, your malchus, your kingdom is kol oylamim. Kalalam means it's all worlds. It includes all worlds. Hashem has nachas from all these different worlds that he created. And different worlds here doesn't just mean planets or different places in the galaxy, in the universe. It means, malchus kalalam means that this oilam, this shul is a certain kind of an oilam. This family, this kahila, the Jews that come from this place and from that place and so on. Malchus, that's Hashem's malchus. That Hashem has different types of homes, different kinds of yidlach. He has different Jews, and Hashem's Baruch wanted that there should be these differences. Again, we're not talking about something that's outside of halacha. I always remind you, it doesn't mean he's not saying, God forbid, that Hashem wants there to be Jews who are not observant. That's something else. But even those we have to judge favorably, as we learned at the very beginning. We'll talk more about that. But we're talking now within the Jews, within our little chavra of Jews that are left in the world, the Sheres HaPleitos still keep Shabbos and Mitzvahs. So in that world, so there are different hanhagas, there are different ways, and the Baruch Shalom wants it to be that way. K'mesh Yisrael told us, as the Tzadik told us, Yaakov Yosef said, He called Yehudi Hu Oilam Bifnei Atzma. The emes is every Jew is a little world, is an Oilam Mamish. V'akol Hum Imenu Yisbarach. Ha'kol hu mimenu yizbaruch, and everything is from Hashem. This world is from Hashem. Hashem created your family and your world. That's your world. Therefore he goes on and says, after the heading, where it says Reb Tzadik, you see? Mm-hmm. On the left side on Tesva. Therefore he says, and we mentioned this earlier, Reb Tzadik schus yagenu lekacht. That means Reb Tzadik was cooking. It means he was very excited about this inyan. Kama Pama Mamashi Isa b'Chazal. Reb Tzadik spoke a number of times about the famous teaching of Chazal al Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon, Shizil Zabaisa Yehudi Mechua. That what? There's a maisa in the Gemara that without going into the whole story, but we spoke about it once before, that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, said about a certain Jew that he met, how ugly that person was. He was shocked how ugly the person was. And the Amalei Eisei HaYehudi, and that Jew, what we spoke about, it means a much deeper thing, as we'll see here. It doesn't just, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon wasn't interested in the size of a person's nose or his hair color. That wasn't what struck him. He was talking about different things in spirituality. So the Gemara tells us that Va'amalei Eisei HaYehudi, that Jew told Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Leich Le'umen Shibarani. You remember this? You've heard this Chazal? That Reb Elazar Reb Shimon said, if you think that I'm ugly, why don't you speak to the one who made me? Mm-hmm. To the craftsman, to the artist who made me. If you have tiny, you don't like this work of art. I was also created by the same one who created you. If you don't like it, speak to the one who made me. Leich Le'umen Shibarani. And it's the same Elazar Reb Shimon that said that a person should be softer and should be more flexible. And the and that he heard, according to one view, that was Eliyahu HaNavi, who was in this world disguised as an unattractive person. But the meaning of this Gemara is much, much deeper. We're not talking about, God forbid, simple people. So when Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon said that this person is ugly, and he said, go speak to the one who made me, it's exactly what we're talking about. Kol zilzul, look how he explains. Kol zilzul b'Yehudi. Anytime you look down upon another Jew, yesh lo abchina shalech lo uman shibarani. The person can say, go speak to the one who made me. Look at your kids, have their shirts out, your house is neglected, the grass is growing too high, face, whatever it might be. In other inyanim, when it comes to ruchnias, when it comes to spirituality, that person's background, even the way that they pronounce their words and so on, all of these things a person can answer, can say, really, lech l'uman shibarani, go speak to the one who created me. And even if that negative way of looking is because of spiritual matters, even if it's an area that you talk to have a legitimate taina, in other words, there's something that that person is doing in spiritual matters that might not be 100% proper. But again, as we spoke about in the first shiur, you don't know that person's background, you don't know where that person's coming from. For that person, it could be the most unbelievable Mesiris Nefesh. And I was talking to somebody this week about what happened with this Ilan Nebuch, that, so there was a boy, a little boy that came home from his yeshiva, not here, in a different area, came home from his yeshiva, and the Rebbe said that the Rebbe told the boys in the yeshiva, must be 10 years old, these boys, that the Rebbe told them that what's everybody getting so upset? It's a Machal Shabbos. And he was coming down on Shabbos, a Machal Shabbos. So the Rebbe Yishon taught him a lesson. And that's the lesson that's being taught to Klai Yisrael. And the whole thing is a Gelecht, is a joke. And what's he taking? He's saying, Terror theory, he's nobody, he's nothing. Which is interesting because in the newspaper in Yisrael, which is an anti-Semitic newspaper, Haaretz, Mamish, an anti-Semitic newspaper. So there was also, they were being mazalzel, they were making fun of him also. They were making fun the other way. That, oh, look at him, he became a tzaddik, and they were making fun that he, that this chiloni, that they thought he was one of their own, right? A non-religious person. All he's talking about is, say, Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, you know, and he's asking Shabbos about Shabbos, and he's making kiddush, and he takes a bech with him, and from Auschwitz, the whole mice. So from Bergen-Belsen, so this whole mice. So on both sides. So the father was telling me that the son came home with these lashonis and that many of the boys were very confused because the parents were very upset about what happened to Ilan, and the Rebbe says these things, these disgusting things. So the boys were very confused. So he asked me to talk to his son. So I spoke to the son, to the boy, and I told him, I don't mean to contradict your Rebbe, and your Rebbe probably has something else in mind. That's what I told him. I said, the Rebbe's just an idiot. But for saying such things, Hashem Yirachem. But I said, look, where this person came from, he didn't, you're lucky you go to yeshiva your whole life, you have a religious home. For that person, even though you could look at him in a negative way, that he's Machal Shabbos, he's this, he's that. But from where he was coming from, it was unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. He wasn't coming from a religious home, and he wanted to say every single minute, I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew. And there could have been a million Israelis that would have been the furthest thing from them. And he wanted to make it clear to the whole world, he wasn't ashamed to say that he's a Jew. So I said that to judge a person, you have to judge the person from that place where the person is coming from. How could he be mazalzel? And even though I just said a strong word about his Rebbe, the Rebbe probably comes from a place, we also have to be Dalmakat schools, what he received from some of his teachers, unfortunately, where it all began, such a negative way of looking, that's a separate story. But each person has their own inyan. And in Ruchnias, and in spiritual matters also. So even though he was Machal Shabbos, it's true. But he wasn't taught any differently. And he grew up in a secular society. And the secular Israeli society is dafka much more anti-religious than the secular Jewish society outside of Israel. And afal pichin, and despite that, look what he wanted to say. Look what he wanted to make a kiddush hashem, and how he was talking so much about Yiddishkeit. So the person has to be down the kav schus and to try to understand and to see where each person comes from. So he says that you can't be mezalzel. He says they're very deep things to look down upon a person. He says, Leich Luman Shabrani. So what would a person like Ramon, what could he say? He could say, look, go to speak to the God who made me. I didn't choose to go to a yeshiva, not the yeshiva. That was a choice my parents made. I didn't choose a certain path of life. I mean, it's true we all have free choices, he says in a moment, but we understand that one's background, one's environment, one's life has a tremendous impact upon him. So anybody could say, go speak to the one who made me, which isn't an excuse. But and we have to be, of course, we have to be careful, but Leich Lumen Shabrani means that sof kol sof, I'm in a different place. My point of free choice is different than yours. So what is Rebbe saying, that he should be like, that he's not a Ben Tayer with his sitzes out? And I mean, what was the taina that he's landing on Shabbos? He didn't land, but he's supposed to land on Shabbos. So where was he coming from? Why would that be? Why would he think not to land on Shabbos? Like, what's the havamina not to land on Shabbos? That's not where he was coming from. So he says, "Ab sheyesh lo tviya ki yesh lo b'chira." That's between him and Hashem. And Hashem has his case with everybody's name. Hashem has his inyanim. Why did he put this person in that place? But that you should have that you should look down upon another Jew. And all this, I was thinking about this also. I mean, these articles are very screaming, they're all screaming. Also, a lot of self-righteous people, I mean, I can't say this so much, Barab, I can just say it in small heaven, if it gets out anyway. These things get me in trouble, but it doesn't bother me to say the emes is that I was reading in a certain very, very orthodox newspaper about how now the religious parties, the main thing is that they have to use more propaganda. They use the word propaganda. More propaganda to try to get word out and use the media and all different things to try to get out a better picture of who the Orthodox are in Israel. So I was thinking, why don't you talk about, that's good, public relations, propaganda, you have to raise some money to pay people to put up more signs, I don't know, but, you know, whatever that is. But what a self-righteousness. I said this many times. You see, there's such hatred in Eretz Yisrael for Haredim, Hashem Yirachem, right? By this whole party that's built upon the sinner for Haredim, and look how many votes they got. But that's an interesting thing. You could go to the most secular Jew in Eretz Yisrael, Rubam Kekulam, and I've done this. They don't hate Lubavitch. How come they don't hate Lubavitches? Lubavitches are Haredim. Lubavitches have long beards and big hats and the way they tits us out, but they don't hate Lubavitches. Because in their world where they grew up, Lubavitches came to the front and brought them some kugel and brought them a lulav. These people, 99% of them, don't hate Yiddishkeit. That's not true. And it's a very simple thing just to write off all the non-religious or the anti-religious in Israel, that it's their fault, they're anti-Semites, they're disgusting, they're low, they're horrible, they're all secular. It's too pashut. If we don't look inside of ourselves and realize how we haven't done enough, we haven't been yaitzeh with our own brothers and sisters, and that's not a matter of propaganda. It's a matter of reaching out. Not compromising. But you have to understand that people are living in a world, secular people, where they see themselves, they see their brothers, their friends, their sisters being killed. And then they see others who are walking around on the street shopping at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they also have tightness that they're not getting enough money for their institutions. It's not so pashut. It's not so simple that they shouldn't be... It's not just a question of propaganda, it's a question of doing something. That's why the non-religious Eretz Yisrael, they love those Jews from Zaka. You know what Zaka is? Now, the ones that scrape the body parts off the floor. Those guys, 95% of them have long payas. So how come the Chilonim love them? How come they're heroes? Because they see that they're chipping in it, and that they love us, and that they care for us. It's not so complicated. That they're doing for us. The emes is that we do need to get word out. The truth is that most Haredim, of course, do reach out and do love, but there's not enough of a feeling of that. And It's not so pashut. It's not so simple. Sometimes I think, what if, God forbid, if I'd be in that matzah, if I would be a secular Israeli, I have cousins of mine. I talk to them. And they don't hate Yiddishkeit. But they're trying not to hate Yiddishkeit. And it's a struggle. It's not just a struggle. You can't be so simplistic to think that it's only their fault. We all have to work on ourselves. But people can see, people look to see whether you, people know that whether you look down upon them. See, the reason I said that most of them, they don't have tainus against the Lubavitch, because they don't feel that the Lubavitch will look down upon them. Because the Rebbe's whole thing was to go tell the Jews and to love other Jews. And so they don't feel that there's hatred coming from them. Even though the emes is that from 95% of the other Charedim, there's also not hatred. But it's not as obvious, it's not as clear, and the matzav is very big in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very big. So he says that he says that Hashem has an inyan with that person. That person has free choice. That's Hashem's business with that person. That person does have free choice. So what does that mean? Go to speak to the one who made me. Okay, but that's between him and Hashem. But as far as you looking down on the person without knowing all of his circumstances and where he or she comes from, that's wrong. Hashem created each one with his own nisyanis, and Hashem gave each person his own tests and his own difficulties. Now, that's certainly true in the areas where the person is not doing any aveira at all. When it's not even an aveira what the person is doing. You see another person, like we're talking about lifestyle, the kids are messy, the kids are clean, this kind of stuff. It's not an aveira. Could be the person has a different way. Now, Avodas Hashem also, that they have different ways. With the Chassidim and the Lifshitz, there's different ways. Al Derech Moshel. So he gives an example. Al Derech Moshel, Yesh Yehudi Shekvar Arboim Shonim Espal B'Shabbos Kodesh Vasikin. You have a Jew, he says, that for 40 years, he likes to daven Shabbos morning very early, by sunrise. Hu Kam Chatzais. This Jew likes to get up midnight, Friday night, for loymed arbe shows, kaidim atfil, he likes to learn for 4 hours before davening. That's his way. Then he davens very early. That's what he likes to do. Ulum is achi yesha seder achil, then you have another yid. And these are both wonderful Jews. He has a different seder. What's his seder? Humarach b'shir dishbots b'leil Shabbos. He loves staying up very, very late Friday night, singing zmiras till very, very late, and tired at the table, whatever. He likes to do that. He's more of a night person. So he does that. V'chakech eno kam b'chatzais, el b'shir shtayim. But he doesn't get up at Chatzais at 12. He gets up later at 2 in the morning. You thought it was going to be 10, right? He gets up at 2 in the morning. This is the kind of chevre he's with. He gets up at 2 in the morning. He likes to learn 6 hours kaidim atfila. He davens later. He davens whatever it is, 8, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. He davens later. Oh, now the Yetzirah comes to each one of these guys. Now we're looking at them and say, you guys, you're both terrific. No? What could be bad? These are tzaddikim. But the Yetzirah comes to each one. The early riser says, what kind of a Shabbos? What a disgusting, how can you have a Shabbos like that? Such a Shabbos where what? Where you finish davening, it's already the middle of the day. What were you doing the whole time here? It's already afternoon until you finish, right? Until you finish Shachris, it's already late. Hey, Krat, take it, Shalasudas. It's already, it's going to be Shalasudas soon. Hey, it's a time you should Shabbos, because what kind of a Shabbos is that? The Shabbos, Sarach, Lokim, Vasikin. Shabbos, you have to get up early. Take advantage and get up early. Lias, Bebechinas, Lahadba, Barikah, Chazdachot. To what? To get up early in the morning? Zegivaldik. That's gewaltig. Uluma zelechaveiro. The next, the other side. Now the other guy, the Yetzer, comes in a different way. Mefat the Yetzer, v'sheish babayki lias achra tefila. Ma'oisim kol haShabbos. So the other guy, the guy that's the night guy, right? So he likes to use the, he likes to stay up late at night singing and zmiras and all this stuff, and then he likes to get up a little bit later, but to use the time a different way. So he's thinking, what? Ma'oisim kol haShabbos. What's that guy? What does he do the whole Shabbos? He's probably sleeping the whole Shabbos. Why does he like to finish davening so early? Probably because he wants to go to sleep the whole Shabbos. He thinks about the other guy, the early riser. What's he doing the whole Shabbos? He's finished davening. He's finished with everything by 7 o'clock in the morning. 7:30. He's done. So then what? If you want to learn before davening, that's a chashuva thing. Like I do. He says, like, the guy says, like, what do? I'd like to learn before davening for 6 hours. May I daven at 8 or 9, right? So that's a chashuva thing to learn before davening. And he'll quote the thousands from this, say how beautiful it is to learn before davening. Zimashu achalagami. That's a different kind of learning, of course. What I do is terrific. Vachakich mispalim. Then you daven. Zepile plain. Thus is gewaldig. And he says there are a million variations of this. These are very sweet variations, but there are a million variations of this. Avinu shebishamayim, righteousness yageibes amayi. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to think about this a lot and to work very hard on this. Ladas, to know shebichol tnu bebeis hamedrash, that every single movement that takes place in yeshiva in this medrash, babayis or in the home, in chaverim with friends, v'chadoyim. L'kol echad yesh es ha'olam malei shelo. Each person has his own world, his own way, what he likes, what gives him a geshmak, what he enjoys. V'kol echad ha'olam b'fnei atzim was a separate world. V'eich efshel l'zazel b'mach m'shenoig l'hefech m'meni. How could you make fun of him or look down upon him? Because he's the opposite of what you do. U'kshazoychem l'chye es kach. When a person is zoych to live this way, so Masala Kol Habayis Habayos Babayis, that takes away all the anger and frustration of the home. Especially when you have a husband and wife that have certain differences between each. And they're both wonderful people. But this one has this on the hug, this one has a different on the hug. This one saw this in the home, this one saw that in the home. And they're both good people. Because all of this, when it's between friends, obviously it's less complicated that when it's between friends, you see the kid outside with his shirt out and the tits hanging out and his nose is running, so you have tightness, you're upset. What kind of a house is that? The worst thing is that when you have in the same house, the husband doesn't care if the kid is messy and the wife is very makbud or vice versa, then you have, it's terrible. It could be a Gehenna mamish. It could be a Gehenna. And where does it say that the kid has to have his shirt tucked in all the time? Who stay tucked? Everybody can bring, says cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, all these non-mamari chazal, or they could bring tach. You could bring always the chazal and the kiyas, because even between chazal, they were all tzaddikim, and this one had a different mahalach. There were certain tzaddikim. The biggest thing was nikiyas was a certain kind of order, and there was another tzaddik that he was more of a fiery type, and it wasn't so masuda. You had it among tzaddikim too. So you always find a chazal like this or like that. You always find it safer. They'll say this is the way. Between the tzaddikim, there are different ways. Because you have in one house that the wife and husband are for 20, 30, 40 years, they're arguing over the same thing, the same narishka, over the same nakuda that they argued by Shemir Brachis. The same nakuda, the same narishka. It can't be to resolve the issue, because what is it, chelm? 50, 60 years? How long does it take to figure something out? Now the terrace is that they're different. They have much more that's in common, or else they wouldn't have gotten married. So they love each other and they accept that this is different. That's all. And you go vayta and you don't think about it, you don't talk about it. So how can you be soivalit? So he's saying that the only way that you could deal with it, and the only way you could be soivalit, is if you accept that the Baruch Shalom made that person different than me. Lechul, go speak to the one who made me. It's a difference. And therefore, he says, many of the problems in the house will be solved. And what about when you have differences between you and your kid? Oh, boy. There are parents that kill their children for this. They kill the kids. Kol bayis hu'acha. Every house is different. Kol yelad hu'acha. And in each house, each child is different. Kol av ve'em. Every father, every mother, mechutanim. The in-laws, the shechenim, and the neighbors, and the brother-in-law, gisim, sister-in-law. Egin kinder. And also, he says what? But isn't it true that in so many homes you have that the parents, let's say the parents have joined forces and they've devised a certain mahalach for the kids, but what happens if it has to be that each kid has to be the way that the parents have a certain mahalach and the kids have to fit into that mahalach? And what happens if there's a kid that his teva is not to be so organized, and the parents, of course, the parents try and they help, and the parents are very, very organized. That child could be totally ruined by that. can be totally destroyed by a parent who doesn't understand. They're in the same house, different kids have different tava. They have a different tava. Vinyan machayim, they have different interests. Different ways, different interests. For one kid to go to a certain kind of yeshiva, to go to a certain place, it gives a hisalus. That kid feels good. It feels it gives him a lift. But the father's thinking, what's wrong with my son? How come he goes to that yeshiva? How does he like that rebbe or that yeshiva? I don't know, what's wrong with him? Or how does he like that? And it's we're talking about in ruchnius. The Rav Pliny. Ani ha'isi shom kama pam. The father's thinking, I was by that Rav, I was by that Rebbe a few times. It didn't help me become a better Jew at all. Ani maven my yesh to las l'sham. I don't know, what's my kid doing there all the time? Why does my son go there all the time? I just finished this paragraph. On the other hand, the other Jew feels that the only way that he can get closer to Hashem is by going to that Rebbe. And the other one says, what? There's nothing by that Rebbe. He feels I can't leave this. And only there he becomes better. And people get into arguments over this. So why are they arguing? If I said, what's the argument? He has a different malach. In one house, a father, a son, a mother, a daughter, a parent. What's the argue about? What's the vikuach? You have so many times also, you have a mother-in-law, a father-in-law. But the mamish interfere and stare the children gefährlich, that they ruin the lives of their children, their grandchildren, because why? Because the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, the parents, they don't agree with how they're raising their children. They don't agree with the mahalach in the house, and they go and they stare and they interfere and they put in their they try to inject their own way, and they crush the children, they crush the grandchildren. It's kesed. You see this all the time. You have a daughter and a son-in-law, or a son and a daughter-in-law, that they're getting along with the usual ups and downs, but they're getting along. And then you have a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, that comes in there to stare and to say a negative word. To say in a negative word, well, by us we didn't see this. Or it wasn't like that in our home. To say like a word, and then to put a thought into a woman's mind to look down on her husband, or to the husband to look down on a wife, and so on. These are all ritzichas. This is murder, mamish murder. And this happened in Keseder. Keseder. And you ask every mother-in-law, every father-in-law, says, I only spoil from love. Mm-hmm. And I'm only doing because I love my children. And because I know the truth. Mm-hmm. And that person who married my daughter, you know, he's a nice guy, but he doesn't know certain things. You know. Well, who made you into a maven? Because you did that in your house. So, maybe his parents are bigger mavinim than you are. The Torah says that they're two different homes. And if the husband and wife can learn to live with each other and they can love each other, then don't stare. Then don't get involved. And don't say a word. Don't put your two cents in. But don't put your two cents in. You be quiet. when my daughter Mia, she should be well when she was single. So my job was to be mavinim. And I said what I thought, and I was trying to be madrich in the way that I thought was best for her. Once she went under the chuppah, you won't get a word from me, just I love you, you're terrific, everything is great. Whatever he says, gewaldig. And I mean it. And it is gewaldig. It's gewaldig. Not everything is the same. It happens they're all Hungarian, so it works out. But it's gewaldig. That means it's gewaldig. It is gewaldig. That's what he says. Just another minute. Yeah, Mizvachim, they get into arguments. What are you arguing about? Go speak to the one who made me. This is where I come from. Everybody, Hashem created each one in his malchus. Hashem created with different qualities, different tavern. And he says, therefore, you have to work very, very hard to lift yourself up in the zinyan. Not to be mezalzel, not to look down upon another Jew who does things differently than you. And the Rebbe says that if you work on this, your house will be filled mamish with peace, with tranquility. Your house will be a peaceful home. Ki mevinim shekol echad hushayna. You accept that each one is different. V'akol nifla. And everything is a gift from Hashem. Everything is wonderful. Everything is gewaldig. V'chol ha'olam nifla. And the whole world that you live in is wondrous. V'chayv the street, b'bayis, b'beis ha'medrish, b'tfila, b'tayra, kol mi. Kol ma, or mi. Shesoyve, not shesoyve, shesoyve v'aisi. All that surrounds me, it's a mistake in the print, all that surrounds me, who niflu, is terrific. Hakol shalom v'shalom. And a person feels a sense of peace and tranquility. Instead of gridging everything that why it should be like this or should be like that. Okay, Mishnah, we'll continue next week.